Welcome to the Prince Manasseh Achiu podcast. Prophet Manasseh Achiu is the General Overseer of the Watered Garden Church in Ghana, West Africa. Thank you for joining us for another power-packed session. Through the teaching of God's Word and the ministration of the Spirit, we restore God's glory in mankind. Enjoy the transformational power of God's Word as you listen to today's message.
I want to share something briefly on the abundant life. John 10:10 says, "The thief," referring to the devil, "cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." The devil, in any form, in any medium, will only try to take from you, steal, to kill, and destroy. "But I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." So Jesus is saying that the reason why he came is so that we can have life and have it in abundance. Now I want you to see how he juxtaposes this or puts this in contrast with what the devil does. He's talking about abundant life, having life and having it abundantly. And he's talking about somebody stealing from you, taking from you, and killing you. In other words, it is God's will that we have life to the overflow, not life in scarcity. God doesn't want us to be poor, but it's not just about money. He doesn't want our joy to be stifled, our peace to be stolen. He doesn't want our love to be trapped. He wants the full life to flow. He wants us to live our lives to the full. He doesn't want our potential remain potential. He wants a manifestation. He wants a revelation. The Bible says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, our eyes have looked upon, we've seen, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest. Did you see that? The life was manifested. So God intends that the life should be manifested. The reason why God came all out of himself to create, to reveal, to become a man. Jesus was the mystery in God all the while, according to Ephesians 3. There are many mysteries. Mysteries are just secrets. But the mystery is Christ. And Christ is that man who has been hiding in God all the while. But even from Genesis, from the beginning of time, you see God manifesting. I was talking with somebody and we were talking about some stones. And I said, "This stone looked like beryl." She said, "Like emerald." And I said, "It's so beautiful." Then she said, "Yes, God is beautiful." It says, when you see these things, you know God is beautiful. Bible says that from the creation of the world, the King James says, since the creation of the world, the invisible things of him, so all the things that were hiding in God, they are clearly manifested by the things that were made. So we see that God is beautiful because when you see precious stones, we say God is beautiful. When you see whatever God has done. But the point is here, he wants a manifestation, a revelation, an exhibition, a display of his life and all of it. Amen. "I am come that you may have life and have it in surplus." In fact, the original says, "to the overflow." God wants your life to be overflowing. We've established that he's talking about his divine life. The abundant life is the eternal life. It's an endless life. But it's not just in the longevity, it's also in the quality. That's why there are so many adjectives used for that same life. Eternal life to talk about the fact that it never ends. An abundant life to talk about the riches of that life. Now, you can go through life sick, with a guilty, laden conscience, frustrated, hopeless, despair. Okay? That's the end of the road. Distressed, but to be despaired means you've lost hope. So, certain things constitute life. Vision is keeping hope alive. Believing, believing for a better tomorrow, believing that is turning out world, hope, fulfillment, conviction, you know, living a life of conviction, love, loving and being loved. All these things are part of that life that God promised us. And Jesus says, the reason why I came is so you can have this life and have it more abundantly. In fact, that's what he paid for. He worked it out. And he knows exactly what he's talking about. Now, don't say that, well, you know, yeah, we know this is God's ideal for man. We wish things were so. He worked it out. He actually became a man so that men can live the divine life. So it's not something idealistic, something he's talking about that he doesn't even know what he's talking about. You know, sometimes we feel like God is up there. He doesn't know what life really here is like. He was here. He lived like everybody, was tempted like all of us. So you don't know what you're talking about. He knows what he's talking about. Because he was in it all. Amen? Born of a woman, tempted in everything, went through all the frustrations, went through, cried, went through everything. Hallelujah. This is it. But we need to know how to live this life. We need to know how to engage it. And we need how to multiply it, should I say. Because it comes with seeds. It comes with fruits. And once we keep sowing the seeds, it keeps multiplying. So we must know how to engage this abundant life because it's been given to us. If you are born again, you have the abundant life, you have the eternal life. But you have a responsibility because it's your life. It is God's life, now it's now yours. You must live it. You see, you must live it. And you must know how this divine life works. Unfortunately for us, we have a pseudo life. We can always switch to, if this one doesn't seem to be working. Oh, so sad. We have the false life, which is actually death. Remember that when you are spiritually dead, God considers you as dead. And we repented from dead works. We repented from a life that is not based on the word of God and from the spirit of God. We repented of that. We have borrowed the language of the world, the terminology so well. Because if we don't speak like that, then it means we are not current or we are not intellectual. So it must appeal to the flesh. But he said, if they speak like this, it's because there's no light in them. He said, they go through the land, be stirred and hungry. And if they speak like this, it's because there's no light in them. But he said, to the testimony and to the law. He said, bind up this among my disciples. Some people have ganged up against Judah. And everyone said, alas. He said, don't talk like that. A conspiracy. He said, don't say that. Oh, nothing is working in my life. Now, when you start talking like that, it shows your level in the Lord. There's nothing working for me. That is not our language. They shall speak with new tongues. We speak a new language. It is a language of faith. Bible says, which is the word of faith which we speak. Which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but in words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Combining spiritual words with the appropriate spiritual expression. Paul said, if I please men, then I'm not a servant of Christ. Who are you trying to please? I was at the wedding yesterday, and during the exchange of the vow, for better, for worse, the young man said, for better, for best. And in sickness and in health, he said, in health and in health. And he was saying that, and the wife was repeating that, and they were not repeating the script. Now, I know some people understood what they were doing. Others don't understand what they were doing. Let me just pause and explain something here. They are building their faith and they are building their convictions. And so they are careful what they confess. Do you understand? 100% correct. But you see, the reason why they put the for better for worse in sickness and in health is not because they are trying to say that you'll be sick. But they are trying to say, like the way you say that, I'll love you till I die. It's not because you are trying to say you are going to die. So that thing that was crafted there is not necessarily in the negative. Do you understand? But it is not also wrong for you to choose to confess that for better, for best. How many of you get these things? But the point here is this. There is abundant life. Why the scarcity? What's the problem? We need to find what's the problem. How can death be present when resurrection and the life is standing by? Jesus wept. Two times specifically, Bible mentioned that Jesus wept. Now, it's recorded three times. Bible says in the days of his flesh, he prayed with tears and supplications, okay? But we don't know which specific time. Maybe when his sweat turned into blood, but we don't know which. But two specific other times that the Bible says Jesus wept was when he wept over Jerusalem because they didn't know their day of visitation, the day that mattered the most. They didn't know the spiritual timing. And the other time was when, at the tomb of Lazarus, when the people were crying and the resurrection of the life was standing by. He was so frustrated, he cried. So how can resurrection and the life be so present and still death so present? How can there be so much abundance and there is still so much lack? I will tell you where the problem is. The problem is always in the distribution, the flow. We call it communion, the participation, the joint participation. The fact that there is food doesn't mean everybody will eat it. You have to put it in your mouth. But first, the life must be there. And we believers, we have it. But now that we have it, we need to understand how that life works. It is the very life of God. But the way it manifests is through the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. So life came from the Word. So if we are talking about abundant life, we might be talking about abundant of Word. Then the Holy Spirit also is the Spirit of the Spirit. God is a Spirit and He's holy. You know that. He's not called Holy Spirit. Jesus is a Spirit. He's holy, but He's not called Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a Spirit and He's holy and He's called Holy Spirit. Which means that He is the Spirit of the Spirit. And He's the Holy of the Holy. But let's leave the Holy aside. We've talked about that long enough. Let's talk about the Spirit. So out of all spirits, which stands for vital life, the essence, the Holy Spirit is even the very life of God. So you cannot talk about life without talking about the Holy Spirit. So these two things, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and that is where you find the life, is in Jesus. But this is how you see it. This is how you receive it. If I am going to engage the abundant life, number one is the Word. Number two is what? The Spirit. Okay? Now, how do you engage the life of God in the Word? How do you get a life out of the Word? Talk to me. Anybody? By faith. Yeah, somebody said by confessing it. Confessing it is supposed to produce the faith. By faith. Why is it by faith? Because to believe is to is to take into your spirit. That's what it is. Taking into your spirit. That's what belief is. To take into your spirit, man. So you take the Word of God. The Word of God is life. That is why faith is the way the Word of God is engaged. Another reason why faith is the way the life of God is engaged in the Word is faith is the outworkings of the Word. That's why sometimes faith is not just believing the Word, but it's actually doing the Word. Sometimes obeying the Word or fulfilling the Word is faith. So that's about the Word. In your natural life, you have life, but you must be eating. Okay? You have to be eating to keep the life, because life is in the food. Correct? They have life in them. So also, the life is in the Word. Let me just stop here and move on to the next thing. We're talking about the life of God, an abundant life, correct? Which is available to us. But how to access it? We already have it. How to engage it? How to live it out to the full is what we're talking about. Now, when it comes to the spirit, which is the life of God, how do we engage it? By being filled, by being led, by being anointed, because the divine life is powerful. It can crush sickness. It can crush depression. It can crush fear. It can crush sorrow. Amen. It can heal the sick. Jesus said, virtue came out of me, power. Amen. But most importantly, is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody say the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, it's beautiful. That's the most beautiful thing in the whole of the Bible. Apart from the Holy Ghost himself and our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Say the fruit of the Spirit. Good. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Mention it. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, okay, kindness or goodness or generosity, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know what the fruit of the Spirit are? The fruit of the Spirit actually is the life of God. In other words, the way God lives, in our modern parlance, God's lifestyle. So the abundant life we are talking, the life of God we are talking, how does it manifest? It manifests in what? The fruit of the Spirit. If you want to have that life and have it more abundantly, what do you have to do? You have to engage the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love. Now that brings me to a very critical and most important part of what I want to tell you before I get out of your way. Because love is the divine life, when love stops flowing, the life stops flowing. Do you understand? That's why he said, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Is anybody who doesn't love his brother abides in death? Because you see, the life of God is the fruit of the Spirit. So if I want to engage the abundant life, I must engage love so much. And you know, love is not, it's not a feeling. There is a feeling of love, but love is not a feeling. It is the intentional devotion inspired by God's love for us and in us. It is the manifestation of joy, peace, patience, self-control, faithfulness, gentleness or meekness, humility. All these actions, assuming I put you in a box, a container, can you live? If I put you in an airtight container, can you live? Okay, because it's a biologist, so the first one he was not sure. So now I'm making it airtight compartment. If I put you in an airtight compartment, will you live? No, you will not live. But assuming you are not in an airtight compartment, oxygen is coming there, but you are literally put in a cage, can you really live out your life? If I confine you to a room, can you really live? Good. So it means that life must have expression. It has to flow. Now, life was designed to be shared. Life was designed to be shared. That's why love is something you share. Joy is something you can express. If you have peace in yourself and you can't express that peace, it's inconsequential. It doesn't make sense. If you have patience all shut to yourself and it's not extended to some people or somebody's attitude, it is not real. Are we here? Good. What I'm trying to say is that God designed life to be shared. That is why sometimes when you eat your bread alone and you don't want anybody to come close to you, when you finish eating, you become ashamed. And when you're watching a movie with somebody
It's different from when you're watching it all alone by yourself, correct? God desired life to be shared. Do you understand? When you hold back, you die. Ananias and Sapphira held back. Satan filled their heart, and the manifestation was to hold back. You know, it comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Held back, and they died. Life was designed to be shared. So the abundant life must be shared abundantly. Now, the word is communion. The word is communion. Communion means fellowship, sharing, joint participation, intercourse, distribution, communication, contribution, association, partnership. That's the meaning of the word communion. Even God, he shares his life in the Godhead. The eternal life that was with the Father, Jesus and God shared the same life. Life is designed to be shared. Hallelujah. Amen. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. That is what happens when we meet in church. And it doesn't have to be everybody. Two believers, three people. That is why we have so much joy in church. We worship together. We share the word together. We share the prayers together. We share our joy together. And we share our pain and frustration together. But you see, one of the meanings of the word communion is participation, which means you must participate. It means that you must be involved. What is there we are all eating, you must eat some. You don't stand aloof and think somebody will eat for you. Ours is to bring it to you, but you must do the eating. But not just the eating, you must also contribute, because communion also means contribution. You must also bring something on board. As every man has received the gift, let him minister the same as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So God gave you a grace that I don't have. It is in the wisdom of God to give different graces to us, because God is many colored, manifold. When you hold back, it's like the eye in the body says, as for me, I don't want to see. And we may be able to endure with you, but the day the nose also say won't breathe, that's the day you know that it's not only the nose that's going to die, you too, you are going to die. In other words, if you hold back, we die. You must be participating, you must be taking, and you must be giving. We call that communion. What are we sharing? We are sharing the life of God. Who provides it? God provides it. But now what we need to do is the distribution. Look, there is no poverty anywhere in this world, though. It is just an issue of distribution. The thing is not going wrong because of human greed, selfishness, and because of lack of knowledge. Now, I want us to look at, I quoted it, but I want us to look at it again. 1 John 1, from verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning. What was from the beginning? Assuming we don't know. Which we have heard. Oh, so it's something you can hear. Which we have seen with our eyes. Something you can see. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Of the word of life. This guy who wrote this one, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote the same gospel, John. It's the same man. He wrote this epistle. He wrote the gospel too. And that's how he started his writing. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. So he introduces the word as the life. And that life becomes the light of men. Are we here? Then here, He is talking about what the apostles experienced, the word of God. He said, we experienced the word of God. He was talking about the Logos, Jesus Christ, the word of God. We heard him. We saw it. We looked upon. We analyzed it. We were sure we're not dreaming. We walk with him. We saw him when he was sleeping, when he was awake, when he was crying, when he was praying. Feely. We touched the guy. The word of life. Now, but here, instead of calling him the word of God, he came straight and said, word of life. Hallelujah. Instead of trying to say, and the word was life. He called him the word of life. Then he says something. Look at it. Next verse. For the life was manifested. And we have seen it. And we bear witness and show you which life. That eternal life that was with the Father. There was an eternal life that was with God the Father, which has now manifested. What used to be the preserve for only God, that which was exclusive to only God, now it has come among men. It was manifested to us. Look at the next verse. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, so that you too can do what? You can also come and fellowship. You can, the word is communion. You can also come and do what? Participate. You can also come and share. You can also come and associate. You can also come into the distribution and the country. He said that what we have experienced and we are enjoying, we have shown you so that you too can do what? Come and have communion or fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Let me explain the last line. He's saying that we want you to come and share in something we are sharing in. And truly, what we are sharing in is the very life that Jesus and his Father shares. So we say, this life, we need to do what? Be sharers. Communion. Share in. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17. Let's read it. One go. The cup of blessing which we bless. What is he talking about? The communion wine. He called it what? The cup of blessing. Which we bless. The communion wine. Is it not the sharing in of the blood of Jesus? So when we are taking the communion, what are we doing? We are sharing the blood of Jesus. When we are preaching the word, what are we doing? Sharing. When we are praying together, what are we doing? When we are ministering the gifts of the Spirit, the grace on my life, the grace on your life, worship, ministering the prophetic, whatever, what are we doing? But here he's talking about a communion. He said, when you take the communion wine, we are sharing in the blood. And the bread which we break, he's talking about the communion bread. Is it not what? The communion of the body of Christ. In other words, is it not the sharing in of what? Why do we take the communion? Because we want to share in the body of Christ. Let's look at the last line again. It says what? One go. The bread which we break, what is it? Communion of what? Whose body is it? Yes, Jesus Christ. Correct? That's his body. So when you are eating the communion, whose body are you eating? Good. So the food is there. Yours is just to come and do what? Eat. Correct? Who will do that for you? Yourself. You eat it. Correct? Look at the next verse. We say, whose body is it? Jesus Christ. Because it's in that line. Look at the next verse. It says what? Let's read one go. For we, being many, are one bread. Hey! Now we have become the bread. He said we are what? So, it is important to understand that you must eat the bread because the body of Jesus. But you must also give something to people to eat because you are the bread. You must give something to us. You must have something to give to other human beings. And the way you do it is through love. And the fruit of the Spirit. That's your relevance. When we meet you,
joy must greet us. When we meet you, peace must salute us. When we meet you, patience, long suffering must greet us. When we meet you, faithfulness, consistency, faithfulness. There's nothing like a faithful witness or a faithful servant. Final statement. If it is a fruit of the Spirit, it means it must be eaten. So when you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, you have a lot of things for people to eat. Amen. It's a fruit. And usually, fruits have seeds in them. So every time you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, you are sowing seeds that will produce fruit in the person who is eating. It's not enough to have joy for yourself. Have it to the overflow so you can share some around. It's not enough to have self-control for yourself. Have so much self-restraint that it is infectious. Have the life of God and have it to the overflow. Grow in wisdom, but also grow in grace. Increase in favor with God, but also increase with favor with men. Now, I want you to stretch your hands forward like this. The spiritual setting right now is like the day Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. We don't have the time for all that. But Jesus says, you call me master and so I am. You call me Lord, so I am. If I've washed your feet, go and wash the feet of others. Every time you sow the seed of the fruit of the Spirit, it multiplies. It benefits you and benefits others. Now, I don't have to tell you what to say, but if you have heard something, you know what to say. There's something in your spirit to say. Open your mouth now. I've been talking about the abundant life. That's why Jesus came. We can have life and have it to the overflow. Philemon 1:6. You see, this life is a life of faith. The way you live it is by faith. Okay? The just shall live by faith. The life of the just, the life of the believer is faith. Philemon 1:6. Okay, King James says, the communication of your faith. Say the communication. Now, the word is what? Communion, koinonia. Okay? Communication. Communication. Life was designed to do what? To be shared. That's why when there's break in communication, there's so much frustration. Because this now the Bible is talking about the communication of your faith. The participation and the sharing of your faith, the Amplified Version says, may produce and promote full recognition and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus unto his glory. Amen. So you are going to share your faith. You participate in, but you share it. Amen. You must learn to share your faith with others. That's how. Yeah, you share your faith. Amen. You walk by faith and you share your faith. Amen. I will live and not die. Let us hear it in your words. I'm healed. I'm not sick. I'm healed. I'm blessed beyond a curse. Next time you visit the hospital, the people should feel there's hope. Amen. Amen. That our God is a God of miracles. Tell
them that once you introduce God into the equation, it changes. Once God comes into it, it changes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Honey, share your life. Share your joy with somebody. Amen. Once a while, I just surprise somebody with a gift. He's not expecting it. Or rather, he doesn't deserve it. They're like, really? He sent me money in spite of the things I did to him. He will just start blessing you in his heart and start cursing himself. You are a good man. Hallelujah. The Lord smile on you. And may this smile flow to others in Jesus' name. Now I speak healing to every sick case, present, online, your mother, your father, your relations, your children, anybody who is going through any pain, we receive healing. We receive healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe this teaching has been a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast for life-defining and changing moments with the Holy Spirit. Follow us on all social media platforms at Prophet Prince Manasseh Achiu and join the Prophet Sunday services at 9 a.m. See you next week.